Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program. Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, AFR. We are live video streaming this show at Facebook. So go Facebook, type in Today's Issues, and you can watch the show there. You can also comment on the program, and Walker's posting all the articles that we're talking about today, which are in the news. You can also go to YouTube. We now have a YouTube channel for Today's Issues here. So check that out, Today's Issues on YouTube on American Family Radio. Ray Pritchard is with us, as he is most Tuesdays and Thursdays, from Dallas. And Steve Jordahl has stepped in the studio.
I have. Good morning.
And sat down where Fred Jackson formerly sat. Good morning.
It's a good day. How are you doing today, Tim?
Good. What you mess with your phone there?
No, I just want to
see somebody messing with their phone.
Yeah, I'm just getting some details, you know, to in case we talk about some things. I want to know what I'm talking about. So
I wonder if Ray, if there's going to be a huge market for thumb surgeons in about 20 years.
Probably much less than 20 years, right?
And I think chiropractors are going to be some of the richest people in America.
Yeah, you go to any airport, which is where I feel like I spent half my life, and you walk up and down. You know, in the olden days, you know, you might occasionally have a conversation with somebody in an airport. You never do, unless somebody's yelling at you to get out of the way, right? Everybody has their head down.
Everybody
doing what Steve was doing. Everybody does.
You know, I was talking to my brother the other day. He said he went to order a hamburger. It was one of these places where these old fashioned, you know, like Dairy Queen, where you order at the window and then you go sit on the picnic table and wait you know, one of those deals. And he said he went over there, and I think he said he intentionally left his phone in the car. And he said, I got over there, and he said, I didn't know what to do with myself. You know, that's the way we all are. About basically with the phones, he said, I didn't, you know, I'm waiting there for, what, 5-10 minutes for a hamburger, and I can't even, I'm tempted to go back to the car, get my phone, because I want to know, you know, who wants me, who needs me.
Hey, isn't it weird now, if you get in the car, and you get half a block from the house, and you have left your phone at the house. What do you get? That's a moral dilemma.
Yes.
What do you do?
It's a full-on panic attack.
That's right.
Maybe we should have a national go without your phone day.
I'm all for that.
My hands are shaking.
I've done it once or twice.
My hands are shaking.
Just thinking about it, Ray.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
You know, you would.
I need to go to detox.
You know, we joke about that, but you took cell phones away from some people for 24 hours. They would have a nervous breakdown.
I've left my phone at home a couple times, and it's odd looking around trying to check something, check the weather or something. And
that's right.
You just don't have it.
Your grandfather started this ministry on taking a night off from TV, didn't he?
Right. Yeah.
Well,
there you go.
Following in his footsteps, but you might have a harder task.
Yeah. Don't you have a topic related to
cell phones? Social media
use? What all of us can do, I think, is, and I've started doing this, is just when I think about it, most of the time, and that is leave the phone away from the dinner table.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good.
Okay.
That's good. Yeah, that's good.
Leave it in the car, put it in the
office.
Now,
you're just asking for trouble if you got your phone at the dinner table.
You get your phone, you shouldn't have your phone at the dinner table.
No, that's right.
Because you're there to converse with your family. And you know what I'm saying? And
if you're taking your wife out for a date, it's not good to check your
phone.
Both
of you probably just need to leave the phones in the car.
That's right.
And if you're anything like me, where your job entails being on the internet a lot,
right?
Then if you're like me, I get home and I'm just tired of it all. Not just my phone, but computer,
the whole thing.
Yeah, Google, all the web news and everything. It's good to just kind of take a break from it.
Yeah, it is, but you have to force yourself to sometimes because...
Look, I could give up food for 24 hours easily.
I know, but I mean, it's addictive. It's addictive, and the thing about it, I guess this is the way with most addictions. You don't know you're addicted because you're addicted.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm saying that Steve's still messing with his phone.
That's right. I'm looking at Steve. I'm watching you on the live feed now.
Well, here's the deal. When Walker says, don't you
walk
you have
right
a,
into that one,
Steve. When Walker says, don't you have a topic that has to do with social media, then I got to look it up to make sure I remember what I said about social media. You
it's
bet
part
I'm
of the
working.
Job.
Yeah,
all right,
don't believe me.
Steve Jordahl is a professional newsman. We're going to go
that's
to
right.
him now.
Go ahead, we've had, just to update some things that have been happening while you guys have been on the air, we've had several packages mailed to D.C. area military installations. More than five, they say, and there could be more in the streamline. These packages were suspicious. One of them tested positive for gunpowder, had a fuse. Another contained a circuit board and a vial filled with an unidentified liquid. Several of them contain letters which officials described as disturbing, and they have made an arrest here this morning. They're not saying who the individual is at this point, but they are...
had explosive materials.
Well,
in
they
them?
Don't know. They're testing. We don't know yet whether they actually would have exploded had they been handled or set off right. But at least this person who mailed these things had the intention of scaring.
So similar
people.
To Austin,
except that Austin really was a bomb. These may have been bombs. But
well, now the Fox News headline says packages with explosive material.
Right.
So they. Sent to military installations in D.C. area.
Right. So they did test.
They didn't detonate.
They did not. None of them detonated, which right there is probably a little. To my reading of the news, the packages in Austin had a pretty hair trigger. You just had to handle them or, you know, trip the tripwire in that one case, and they went off. These, if you have more than five showing up at military bases, and none of them went off, although they all had signs of looking at least like bombs. So I'm not willing as a news guy to say that they were bombs, but I'm willing to say that he intended them to look like bombs. And they may have been
bombs.
Unless
we get stricter bomb laws,
yes,
this is going to continue to happen. So I'm looking for a rally on the National Mall pretty soon.
Do you know, it was interesting you say that because there was a citizen journalist, as they call themselves, a blogger out on the mall doing interviews with people at the rally for March for Our Lives.
Our Lives.
Yes.
Yes.
Your life and mine.
Yes.
Our Lives.
Our Lives.
And one of the people actually said, if you can get an AR-45, what's to keep you from getting an atomic bomb?
Is one of these kids?
One of these marchers. I don't know. I think it was a kid that said that.
Well,
I can think of three or four
things.
We play.
It's not like you can go to Amazon and order an atomic bomb. Right, a nuke.
You know, it's coming out now, which we knew it. We all knew this intuitively. You knew that this was about the Second Amendment. It wasn't about gun control. I mean, it was about gun control, but it wasn't about Parkland. Ray, this is we have a former United States Supreme Court Justice Stevens. John Paul Stevens, who's 97 years old, by the way.
This is on Fox News, right?
Yes, 97 years old. And he says that the Second Amendment is antiquated and it should be repealed. And that's what he was saying was that's really what the Save Our Lives movement is about, is repealing or doing away with the Second Amendment. Now, a lot of these kids who came out in support of this, so I don't know how many they had, several hundred thousand, in Washington, D.C., they don't know what an assault weapon is. I heard multiple, we played some of the clips,
right.
Where it was enough to see, it wasn't just one man on the street, it was like a sampling of 10 or 15 people who were at the event in Washington, D.C., and they said, do you know what an assault, why, you know, assault weapon, the assault, what do you call it?
Walker? Assault weapon.
Assault weapon, and they couldn't explain it. They didn't know what it was. So they were protesting something they didn't even know what they were protesting, except they're protesting really the Second Amendment, which is the right to bear arms.
I think, and some will say, we don't want to do away with the Second Amendment. We only want a bit more background checks or to keep, you know, guns out of the hands of mentally incapacitated people and everything. But John Paul Stevens, as you wrote, and by the way, Walker, the original op-ed is in the New York Times, if you wanted to link to that. He says, that support, the support of these people that are protesting, is clear to lawmakers to enact legislation prohibiting civilian ownership of semi-automatic weapons. increasing the minimum age to buy a gun from 18 to 21 years old, and establishing a more comprehensive background check for all firearm purchases. But the demonstrators should seek more effective and more lasting reform. They should demand a repeal of the Second Amendment.
Wow. Well, now, imagine a Supreme Court. Wow. I mean, I know he's retired, but that's hugely significant. And we have known, haven't we, that on the other side, and it's not that everybody on the other side has been for this, but there has been an unspoken large block of people who felt this way, and now he's brought it out in the open. Not just,
right.
Not let's do these other things, let's repeal the Second Amendment. Okay, that's where the battle is going to be fought.
Yeah.
He has a very interesting understanding of the Second Amendment, and he says that this was what the Second Amendment meant prior to a 1939 Supreme Court ruling. It says, for over 200 years after the adoption of the Second Amendment, it was uniformly understood as not placing any limits on either federal or state authorities to enact gun control legislation. It's the exact opposite of what we feel now. They say that the Second Amendment was for the government, freedom for the government to place restrictions on firearm sales, on firearm ownership.
I'm just surprised he sat on the highest court of our country.
He's a flaming liberal.
He was.
But that goes to show you, and that this all goes back to the two viewpoints. One is that the Constitution is living, breathing, and evolving. Yeah. And it can change, which is not a good situation to be in. And the other view is that the Constitution should be interpreted as through its original intent.
Well, if these people want to repeal the Second Amendment, there's a process to do that, I guess. Yeah. I don't think they're going to be able to do that, but they can try. But what gets me is the ignorance of a lot of these folks in the is sort of a trendy, popular thing, especially for the young people to, walk out of school and go protest gun violence, when they don't even, and if you survey them, half of them don't even know what they're protesting exactly, except for some nebulous, gun violence, I'm against it, and so I'm out here, And
right.
By the way, a couple points to be made. I was looking at a story on Fox News. They showed the governor, Cuomo from New York.
Uh-huh.
And Bernie Sanders, the former presidential candidate, who's a U.S. senator from Vermont, both participated in the rally last week, the Save Our Lives rally in Washington, D.C., or New York City is where they were participating. And they both had armed guards escorting them to the event and out of the event. I'm just saying, it's okay for the elite to have bodyguards,
mm-hmm.
or in the case of the governor, paid state police to escort them everywhere they go. And it's easy for them to stand up and say, get rid of guns, basically, when they've got all the protection they need.
Yeah.
You put them out there on the street without any protection at all, let's see if they change their attitude about the right to...
Yeah, drive through the south side of Chicago without your armed guards.
Us know how that works out for you.
Yeah, Rahm Emanuel, same way. These liberals, there's so much hypocrisy on the left on many things. You read about Al Gore, the world's going to end from global warming, and then he gets on his private jet. I mean, this happens all the time. These limousine liberals, this is how they live.
We know how to run your life better than you
exactly,
do.
Exactly. But the idea that the governor and Bernie Sanders are attending a gun control rally, really, you might call it get rid of the Second Amendment rally, but they're doing so while they're guarded with armed officers.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. What else you got, Steve?
To pay off on Walker's tease there, Facebook is in some more trouble this morning, as we find out. You remember, we maybe even talked about it yesterday, that the growing concern about Cambridge Analytica and the way they...
That's not a band, by the way.
Is it? No, not that I'm aware of, although
like
it would be a good band.
Like a polka band or something.
Polka,
yeah.
Okay. English, I would think Cambridge Analytica would be English physicist
band. Well, maybe
old Scottish physicist.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, go ahead. We digress.
It was a. It was actually a group that used some data to feed to the President Trump's campaign, and from the reports I've read, they didn't really use a whole lot of the data. But the data was collected from Facebook users. They call it mining. Like you go mine for gold, they mine for data, and they used this data. The Trump campaign bought and paid for the data. Well, it turns out this morning that Facebook itself was handing over similar data to the Obama campaign. And this was back in 2012 for his reelection.
Okay.
And they happily handed it over because, well, ostensibly because they wanted him to win.
Sure,
and
they
didn't pay for it, which, according to an expert from the Heritage Foundation, is very likely a campaign violation. A company cannot give anything to a campaign without the campaign paying fair market value for it.
So you're saying Facebook was in the tank for Obama in 2012, basically.
I don't think that's going to surprise anybody. Yes, no. Facebook.
No, Mark Zuckerberg's he's a very, very liberal slash progressive person on his views. But now Facebook's getting they've had a black eye now for, what, a few days, Ray, hadn't they?
Well, you know, people are unhappy. They don't trust. Well, look, Facebook has 2.6 billion people out of every three in the whole world. So, and they're unaccountable, right? They're transnational. They may be based in the U.S., but who does Facebook really answer to anyway? Because they have such a big base around the world. It's a frightening thing, Steve, the power that a company like Facebook has to think they've got all your data and they can do whatever. I'm getting worked up here. They can do whatever they want with it. Mm. And then what recourse do we have against a huge company like Facebook?
Let me add one I don't know if you'd call it a caveat to that, is that it is voluntary, right?
Is somewhat. It is voluntary for you to go sign up. However, even the government is starting to notice that it is big enough so that it would fall under some of the same restrictions of a monopoly, for example.
Yeah.
Social media, while it's more than one company, they control or they have so much control over and influence over how we get our
it's
news,
like
how we
service.
Communicate. It is almost. And so
but
they're starting to regulate it.
But even so, I mentioned it's voluntary. That is, nobody forces you to sign up for Facebook. And the consideration you just brought forth that it's potentially a monopoly. There's not considered a monopoly. There's not anything out there really to compete with it. There used to be MySpace, I guess it was, but that's gone away. But it still does not give a company the right to violate the privacy of their customers. Right, which is giving away your information, unbeknownst to you. Is that a question mark?
You kind of know. You're supposed to know when you click the agree button,
right?
Because
when you
click that long agree button, it says we are going to shop your information to advertisers. In other words, this is how you know if. And I think I heard you talking about this the other day. If you go searching for new ski boots.
Right.
You start getting ads about ski trips and parkas.
To me, there's a difference between using that information for commercial purposes and using that information for political purposes. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
There's a difference.
I don't know if you can really make that distinction, though, because.
Not? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that true that what I've mentioned, we all experience the targeted advertising based on what we're surfing to look up on the web.
And to be clear, Facebook was in the tank for Obama. I'm not criticizing the Obama campaign for using any data they got from Facebook.
Right.
That's what political campaigns do, right?
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. But I just wonder, there is potentially a law broken here, as you cited, Steve. In fact, there's an article by Hans von Spakovsky. He's a friend of ours. He's on Sandy's show each morning, not each morning, but a lot. I guess he's with the Heritage Foundation.
Yes.
He used to be.
I'll be talking with him today.
Okay. His article on Fox says, did Facebook's, quote, favors for the Obama campaign in 2012 constitute a violation of federal law?
It seems that that where I guess where you cross the line or where a company could cross the line is if they are providing private companies or campaigns with information that is not publicly available on their platform. So if the name of a person and the age and their location is all already on their profile listed publicly, then it being then a campaign knowing that information is not private or secure information. When you start sharing people's shopping habits, you know, and all that.
The illegality.
But you agree to it when you click.
You do agree to it, but no one reads that stuff. But the illegality that Hans Boskovsky is talking about is that Facebook didn't charge the Obama campaign for it.
Oh, okay.
It was free.
It's a finance thing because the election law says companies are more than happy, you're more than free to, well, not free, but they're more than able to get involved in an election, but they
have. So Facebook might have just given it away.
They did. Right. They did. Apparently, yeah. This is what the charge is, that they just gave it to the Obama campaign. Now, the FEC, the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, already has opened an investigation into Facebook based on the allegations that came out of the Cambridge Analytica issue. Yeah. So they're already looking into Facebook. Facebook is just getting hit. It's like the eighth round of a prize fight here, and Facebook's taking it on the chin.
That's
every
good.
Day.
That's good because they need to be at least ashamed a little bit publicly. Hey, before we end the program today, I was just looking at.
I brought that in too.
You did?
Yes.
Tell us about it, Steve.
Well, I think we could probably check this up to these if we can do a snowflake. The snowflake files.
Hey, snowflake.
We had a this is a man in his name is Eric Brown, and in Detroit he decided he wanted to catch a bus, and he brought on his service goat.
What?
His service goat. By the way, I'm not making
this stuff up, right?
The service goat.
I'm looking at the story.
The service goat was named Deer, D E E R.
Yeah, look up Eric Brown. Now people. They use their service dogs, right?
Right.
A lot of people use their service dogs. Although I got to tell you, on airplanes, this is being abused.
It is,
huh? Everybody's
service
got
service peacock. And
well,
a service,
I just,
yes.
I'm sorry.
A duck.
I'm sympathetic with people. But I'm telling you,
service goat.
A service goat.
So this fella here, and he's serious. Yeah, he got him a service goat. In the same way that you and I might have a service.
Was it a trained service goat?
It's trained to walk on a leash. As far as I saw, it didn't do tricks.
Well, he's people are looking at him, Eric Brown, oddly, when he gets on the bus with a goat, and he doesn't understand why.
And the bus driver tells him to get off.
He says he takes the goat everywhere, quote, because I go, because he's my service animal.
Yep.
So I'm just saying we need to quit judging. And
that's right. Stop judging.
Stop judging. And if Eric wants to get on the bus with a service goat.
Named Deer,
who are we? You know what I'm saying? To pass judgment on him.
We got to be more open-minded is what you're saying.
I think we need diversity in this country.
It looks like he has an official registered emotional support animal certification.
For housing. But it doesn't apply to transportation.
Goats?
Okay. It doesn't apply, yes.
Yes, the goat's providing what, Walker?
Emotional support.
Yeah.
Well, this is great.
Well, okay. Well, there you go, folks.
We're ending on a very high note here,
yes,
people.
Yes, we are. So next time you get on a bus and a man gets on with a goat.
You just smile and wave.
You just smile and wave because he may be there for therapeutic purposes. So that's what we're saying here.
That's right.
All right. And we will see you back here tomorrow, folks, for another edition of Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. My thanks to Ray, Walker, Steve, Fred, and Brent. We'll see you next time.